We might actually be getting to the level of professional with this. Maybe not. We're in the right direction.
Trust me, it's a morning show, even though it's dark outside.
It's like the lights are on, but no one's home.
Literally.
Or someone's home, but the lights aren't on.
Can we talk about oxymorons, jumbo shrimp, ACC football? Good grief. Oh, sorry.
Anyways.
We should have a segment where you literally can name as many oxymorons as possible, like yesterday's news. Icy Hot. Scholar Athlete. Sorry, Christian Dating.
There's a cat in the house. I need more dogs. Anyways, you ready to start?
I'm ready.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Scratch That, Your Not So Normal Morning Show. We're not a podcast. We're a tribute to the old school morning show. And co-hosting again, as usual, with me today, my boy, Will Unknown. Willie, what's going on, bud?
Not much. Just a Masters weekend, beautiful weather. Everything's right in the world. What's going on with you?
Oh, man, just trying to survive. I'm single parenting this weekend, as you had that experience with me earlier today. And, dude, it's been real. It has been every time the wifey goes out of town. Thank God it's only for 3 days this time. But every time she goes out of town, it's Michael W. Smith. This is how I fight my battles.
You're surrounded? What are you surrounded by?
I am surrounded by cray-cray. Between Dancer behind me, who you'll probably hear through this episode, and thank God Z's sleeping upstairs right now, man. It's been a real one today, but you got a taste of it. You got to play Funkle Will with me earlier today.
Yeah, so I heard something Z said that I really appreciate. I'm wondering which parent he gets it from. He's driving his Mercedes-Benz down South End Boulevard, and some kid older than him, probably seven or so, says, "Hey, nice ride, dude." And Z just looks at him and says, "Don't call me dude."
Cold stare. Cold stare. And that is the kid's version of basically saying F off.
But you stepped in at that moment. I probably wouldn't have.
I had to for a second, and he was having one this morning. He's dealing with mom being gone and whatnot. That's never easy on like day one. But yeah, no, you know, I at least said sorry to the dad that was with the kid. But you know, he was in a funky mood, dude. Doesn't excuse that behavior, but we ended up having a good morning. I mean, we hung out for a couple hours. We waltzed our way all the way down to Suffolk Punch, got myself a nice Cinnamon Toast Crunch latte that really hit the spot. But yeah, dude, I thought the most endearing moment of the day that I've experienced was when he held your hand to cross the street. I mean, that was a moment. He's drawn to you. He gravitates to you like he doesn't any other dude, man. You got away with him. And I think it's probably the music connection. Like, you know, he loves what you do. He loves that we hang out. You become a little part of the family, dude. So
no doubt. And I feel like, you know, I'm honored to be, you know, around your family and hang out with you guys. And like I've always said, I mean, it's called being a lifer. You're in it for life. Through the different seasons of life. So there'll be a time when he's 10 and 12 and 18, and I hope to be there for those too.
Yeah, and you'll probably have two or three, hopefully, running around, and you'll be calling me like, "God, what the hell do I do, man?"
Like,
so,
yeah.
Sorry, I said I wasn't going to curse on the show.
It's good parenting advice for me. So
yeah, no, but spinning it back to how we opened it today, the Masters. Today was the Masters, and I didn't get to watch as much of it as I wanted to, but I know you were chilling with the boys today watching the Masters. Dude, like, give me that recap. At one point, I thought Scotty was going to slip out of the race, as other things are about to slip out as well.
I mean, he's the best player in the world. Listen, he had all the pressure on him, all the eyes on him. Dave Portnoy put, I think, $300,000 on him. Like, everybody's thinking he's going to win. His wife is pregnant. She's due really any day, or at least within the next 2 weeks. And he said that, you know, if she was going to go into labor, he was going to fly home and be with her. So lots of moving variables, and he still got the job done by a large margin, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it felt like he kind of was up and down and up and down a little bit today on that. I don't know. Would you say the game was consistent for him today?
When he hit hole number eight, I think he birdied eight, 9, 10,
yeah,
bogeyed 11, and then bounced back with birdies on 13, 14, and 16.
That's when I had to leave to go to the arcade with
so,
Junior.
So, I mean, he finished it like a champ.
Yeah, because I saw him slide a little bit, and I think it was Colin. He was tied with Colin and maybe one other guy, that Argus guy or something like that. I'd never heard of him.
Yeah, he's younger. He's newer to the scene.
What do you think? You got a take on him yet?
I mean, you come in your first Masters and you finish solo second. I think you know what you're doing. So the young generation is so good these days. I mean, they, you know, it used to be like you don't just play in your first major and have a chance right. to win. But now that they don't even right. know the difference.
Yeah, like the Tigerism is a thing, but it's not a thing anymore. I feel like there's not the Rory, the Tiger, the Phil anymore, the Bubba. I think it is a lot of young Thundercats that have been the last 3-4 years constantly churning and making a name for themselves. Who was the dude who won? Was it the Players out in LA?
Players is in Jacksonville.
Ah, man, what was the tournament in LA? It was at LA Country Club.
That's Riviera. I think it's called the Genesis.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at Riv. It was at Los Angeles Country Club. I forgot it. Ricky was running for the win. And some younger guy, I think he actually played on the Ryder Cup last year as well. Man, I really wish I could remember his name. But anyways.
This is a music podcast.
This is a music podcast.
Morning
so
show.
Let's spin it, scratch that, and shift over to something DJing. All right. And here is, now if you call it a metaphor, euphemism, whatever you would call it. And correct me, English major over here. Who is the Joel Damon of DJs? If you don't know who Joel Damon is, break it down real quick. Joel Damon.
I would say, I mean, Joel Damon's one of the best golfers in the world, but he's very unassuming.
Averaging 159th in the world year over year?
No, he's ahead. I mean, I would say he's a top 70 player in the world.
Yeah.
Plays in all the majors, you know, has a chance to win a couple times a year. I mean, he's certainly a top 70, 60 player of the year. I haven't kept up with the rankings.
Yeah, but not to dog on him. No one would know who Joel Damon is if you didn't watch Full Swing.
True. He's got a great personality.
He got famous from Full Swing.
Very unassuming. Doesn't take life too seriously.
No, he gets drunk every night after every round, basically. Or he used to. I think he's corrected his
But I would pattern, say the Joel Damon of DJ, and it's probably Dylan Francis.
Dylan Francis.
If you want some good laughs on Instagram, he's a great follow. He's also probably a top 8-ish, if not higher, producer and DJ.
Yeah.
But he's not like as well known as Tiesto and Steve Aoki, but he's putting out tracks that are on that level.
True.
But he is hilarious to follow on Instagram.
I originally said Diplo, and Will was swift to correct that Diplo's too famous. Yeah. True. If you're going to be DJing the Super Bowl or something like that, probably a little too famous. But Dylan Francis, I still think he's relatively famous, but I would say in personality, and I would say fame now that Joel has been on Full Swing, which Full Swing is a Netflix documentary. It's amazing. It really highlights the true understanding of who the golfers are. And honestly, like, you think golf is boring until you watch Full Swing. Full Swing is, it really brings the understanding of the players to life. But Joel Damon, real roller coaster type of guy, last year really fell off and had to get it back together. His caddy's his best friend. But now, I would say Dylan Francis, I follow him on Instagram. Do you follow him?
He's hilarious.
He does some hilarious things. One of my favorite things that he does is when he tries to get into his show backstage, and security never lets him in. And they're like, are you on the list? And it's just hilarious. I mean, he is a character.
But I think the one thing that they do that probably makes them really good at what they do is they don't take life too seriously. They don't take their job too seriously. They're having fun with it.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this in previous podcasts with, you know, I had a golf background professionally and now musically. Like, it was life or death for me with golf. I took it so serious. I hung on every single shot.
Right.
And I think that's just bad for any sport that you do, really. And so I would say that, you know, if you cannot take life too seriously, and now – speaking of
not taking life too seriously, my wife just called, so I'm picking up. What's up, babe? We're in the middle of a morning show. What, babe? All right. I love you. I'll call you on our break here in a couple. All right. Love you. Sorry, she's in Mexico. Just wanted to pick up for a quick second. I know that's so awkward, and I'm so sorry. But no, okay. I'd say Dylan Francis is by far one of my favorite DJs to follow on Instagram. If you don't follow Dylan Francis, even if you don't like DJs, you'll love this dude. He's iconic. He's entertaining. He is everything that I wish I could be. Talented.
He's a lot funnier than you for sure.
Yes, I will give him that. He is a lot funnier than me for sure. Yeah, anything else you want to hit on that? Nice, scratch that. Let's go into our third topic as we're burning through them today.
Sorry, I went on an absolute tangent of oxymorons right before we came on air, and he's been laughing ever since. Speaking of, how many oxymorons can you name in a row? Or should we popcorn this first one that doesn't come up with one is the loser?
All right, you go first.
Okay, good grief.
Bless your heart.
I'll give you that. Jumbo shrimp.
There's a cat in the house.
I don't even know what that means. How about ACC football?
That's what she said.
Okay, scratch that.
Moving on. All right. So I got a story. Beautiful wedding in DC that I DJ'd. Man, I would say it was probably one of my first weddings I actually DJ'd when I thought I knew what I was doing and I had no idea. But $100,000 plus wedding, gorgeous, man. This a Hilton or Hyatt in DC. It was amazing. I mean, ballroom style. It was gorgeous. And man, the food comes out. I do the announcements. I'm so excited. I'm ready to dive in because everyone's always told me, man, the DJs eat so good at weddings. The DJs eat so good at weddings. DJs eat so good at weddings. False. Scratch that.
You got to take matters in your own hands. So I just did a video on Instagram that shows a day in the life.
I love that video, literally, by the way. If you haven't seen it, go watch his reel.
Joke. So if you don't feed me what you're having, I will play either Limp Bizkit or Linkin Park. But because I know that I can't trust people, I've actually never DJed a wedding. Kyle, you're going to think this is crazy. Except in states that don't have Harris Teeter, every wedding I've ever DJed, I've gotten a foot-long double roast beef and turkey with bacon, lettuce, and light mayo. That way, if I don't get fed, I have my own food. And that way, if I do get fed, that's my late-night snack. So either way, it's going down.
I love that. All right.
And but so I'm not
now
taking...
Now you're
going
to make me feel like a giant a-hole here because you're ready for my worst vendor meal. Going back to my story in DC real quick, and we should talk about our terms and conditions actually since we're on it. But
well, I did make a joke that in my contract I get a vendor meal, but also in my contract I play Linkin Park if I don't, and it's really not that far-fetched. It's the number one thing in my contract is that I get a vendor meal.
The sad thing is you play Linkin Park at a wedding that I go to. You know I'd be jumping and screaming.
I'd be raging, but you know, you can't really. Depends which one.
I'll just add it into my rock block with Lit, My Own Worst Enemy, and Fall Out Boy, and Paramore. Anyways, okay, so I go to grab a plate in the buffet because I'm excited. It's great food. It's steak. Really pumped. And the wedding planner's like, oh, no, we got you a vendor meal. It's back in the kitchen. And I was like, oh, wow, they made me a plate. No plate. So I go back there. Every other vendor is eating the buffet, right? Except for me and the photographer. It's a 6-inch tuna on wheat. Nothing else from, drumroll. Give me a little drumroll.
Wait, how do you drumroll?
So, okay. Oh, okay. Drum roll's over. Subway. For the giant buildup for the letdown. Dude, a 6-inch
tuna. Did you ever hear what happened to Jared from Subway?
On wheat. I don't think we want to get into that today.
So
you lost a lot of weight.
So right. Not so tuna and wheat. So here's another question. As a vendor, do you always go and take matters in your own hands? Do you go first in line? Do you go just grab a plate? Or do you let it come to you? Because you know they'll leave you hanging until it's time for toast.
That's a good question. So truthfully, I am normally, I've learned, and I'm working with the planner, and I tell them generally what I'm going to do, not in an aggressive or abrasive way at all, but I'm like, hey, I'm going to make the announcement about what's happening for dinner. Stay in your seat, yada, yada. We'll release you table by table. Bathroom's there. Bar's there. If you need anything else, tap me on the shoulder. 9 times out of 10, I don't know, but I know the people who do. And then as soon as the bridal party's released, you know, the main table, I roll up in line and I grab food myself because I need to eat so I can get back to work. That's my move. I don't eat before the bridal party or the people in the wedding, but then I eat. That's generally, like, that's my move.
Another good question you can ask in your meetings leading up to the wedding is, you know, if you do have allergies or anything like that, you know, hey, I have some allergies. What are the options for dinner? I just want to make sure I select the right one. Well, it's either going to be salmon or steak. Which one would you like? Steak.
Is that aggressive? Is that presumptuous? Well, would that just put you on the spot? I didn't even mean to make you.
No, I mean, like, some people I know are allergic to salmon. So think about, what if they put you down for salmon and then you get there and all you got is something you're allergic to?
Are you talking about plated dinner?
Well, most of the ones I'm doing are plated.
Well, brush that dirt off your shoulder, Will.
What kind of weddings are you doing?
6-inch tuna on meat weddings.
Like I said, it always comes back to the Harris Teeter sub. It's going to get eaten.
I love a Harris Teeter
either
sub.
Either I'm going to be hungry during cocktail hour and I'm going to rip it. I'm not going to get fed, which has actually never happened. Or it's going to be my driving home snack. So just get an $8 and foot long from Harris Teeter.
I love a Harris Teeter sub.
Dude, you're good to go.
I really do. But I don't want that as my wedding food. And I know that sounds so bougie. But look, my move on the way home, generally 11, midnight, something like that. Or if I'm at the club, at the bar, whatever, on the way home.
McDonald's.
I'm ashamed of you. Yeah. No. Get out of my house.
Oh, Taco Bell, sorry.
No. Get out of my house. Dude, there's only one thing to eat after a gig. No, not bad, though. if White Castle's around, I hit White Castle. But in the South, Cookout.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, in the Midwest, Raising Cane's.
Ooh. 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 Yeah, I'll chicken all night.
So, one other thought. What's your favorite?
Hold on. No, you're moving on too quick here.
Okay.
Least favorite vendor meal you've had. I know you tapped into it, and you don't need to get specific on who and what, but.
There was one early in the career where, like, you go through the buffet, and, like, you know, like, how green beans have, like, juice and bacon sometimes in there?
Right.
Imagine it being all juice.
I love the juice.
But basically, I went.
Juice,
basically, it was like a hot dog with, like, green bean juice with not a lot of green beans.
Like literal hot dogs?
So I got like a hot dog and then like green bean juice.
Wait, hold on. They served hot dogs?
Tell me,
it was at the Mint Museum and they're rocking hot dogs.
No. This was.
The country?
Yeah, out in the sticks a little bit. And
but they did hot dogs?
It was most the whole wedding was mostly food trucks.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was truly a hot dog,
a food truck,
but
wedding.
It was basically like finger food, leftover finger food without the actual food, if that makes sense.
I just got indigestion thinking about that.
Right.
Well, we also crushed that pizza right before the show, which Brooklyn South, shout out. If you haven't had Brooklyn South, Cornelius, oh my gosh, so hard to find good pizza in Charlotte.
Hey, but in those times, it's when you grab out your cold sub from Harris Teeter, which I did in that moment.
Shout out Harris Teeter.
Okay. They should start a collab with me? Question?
Explanation point.
They would just be one of the many brands that I'm partnering with these days.
You are partnering with everyone.
And I'm spending money there every weekend to go perform my craft. Exactly. Who else buys Harris Teeter? Probably a lot of people.
A lot of people. Friday, baby. Friday, you get the lunch deal.
I was going to say to perform their duties, but probably a lot of people.
I don't know. What about pub sub?
What duties are better than...
You ever public sub?
Yeah, I grew up on pub subs, but I still think Harris Teeter's
Harris
better.
Harris Teeter's definitely better. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Pub sub was when I was homeschooled.
Yeah. Okay, so you had that meal. Didn't love it. Crushed the Harris Teeter. So, but yeah, terms and conditions, though, man.
What's in your standard contract?
So I got not much, to be honest. And after talking with Donnie, he really gave me some good ideas. I went to the DJ Vault. I've looked up some other things. Like, I need to put some terms and conditions. Yes, I am insured. I have liability. I have full coverage. Whether it's a wedding, bar gig now, I'm fully covered. you're at a bar or a club, speaker falls and it's yours, or something happens, falls on somebody's foot, breaks it, dude, you think the venue's going to cover that? Nah, that's me. So covered on that. My gear is now covered up to a certain amount, but I'm going to put that in terms and conditions because I'd rather not have to file a claim. If one of your guests wrecks a part of my gear, spills something on it.
I was very close to it last weekend.
I've had it close several times because, you know, I use column rays. Column rays are speakers that have a subwoofer where there's a pole that is a speaker that directly attaches into it. So each of my subs have kind of ledges on them. And people set their beers on it. And, dude, if there's one thing you don't do, you don't set a drink on a subwoofer because the amount of alcohol that is around my gear when I get done, it's alarming, dude. It really is. So I'm going to put that in. I got a couple other terms and condition situations that for whatever gear you sign up with for me, whether it's my geysers, moving heads, whatever it is, I am not liable for fire alarms going off or power outages, anything like that. You need to check the wattage usage, amp usage with me and make sure that it fits with your venue.
It happened to me yesterday.
Really? You blew some power?
Blew it twice. They didn't
I know you're blowing something else.
They didn't tell me.
Blowing your mind.
At all. Yeah, I was blowing a lot of minds with these remixes I was hitting, but like, they don't, what's crazy is like, so you'll be playing and the power will just trip on you. And then they'll be like, oh, I meant to tell you, like, don't turn the bass up as loud as you normally would. And you're like, that'd have been nice to know after 5 minutes of awkwardness. But
yeah,
I mean, you just got to know. And when it happens, it's really not hard to reset, but all that stuff needs to be in your contract. And another thing is overtime. Like if you're scheduled till 10:30,
I got to put that
listen,
in.
I love music and I started doing it for free to get started back in the day, and there's still events I'll do for free. I love doing it.
Lululemon?
But if you've hired me to do an event and it's contractual till 10 o'clock and you need me to stay there till 10:45, it's going to cost. And also, this is the craziest thing.
You got to put your overtime rate in the contract.
Always.
Yeah,
it's always. It's always, and it's per 30 minutes. It's not like you just pay this and I'm good for 2 hours. It's per 30 minutes because guess what? There's been times where I've been at weddings and I've had a nightclub gig starting at midnight.
Yeah, and you got jumped.
And I'm...
You got a job.
Now you're going to pay me for that?
Right.
So, but this was actually a really crazy story.
I like that.
Last fall, this wedding went from 5 to 10, okay? I'm playing music. I'd say 50% of the dance floor is going. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed. Like, I'm not playing good music. I don't know. This crowd was not into it. So 10 o'clock rolls around. Shut it up. Well, they start bringing money. So how long can you stay? I said, y'all haven't danced all night. They paid me to stay an hour long after they wasted 2 hours of what they were paying me for.
Gotta love it.
I've never seen anything like it in my life.
No. No. But you gotta love that, man. I've had a wedding that I went till after 1:30 in the morning when I was supposed to stop at 10:30. That was wild. That was an Airbnb up in the mountains. And eventually the owner, who also lives on the property of this mountaintop thing, finally called the police and we shut it down.
Did you drive home after that?
No, I went to a hotel. That was a late night.
It's late.
It was late. It was
super
late.
What's your cutoff on like late nights, first driving home and stuff?
I don't work outside of Charlotte anymore unless it's like a scheduled out of town gig. But for me, it was 10. I'm not going to force myself anymore. Like I would get a hotel. I drive halfway, get a hotel. Because that's just long, man. Anything me driving after midnight, after exerting all that energy that day, like I'm no good behind the wheel. But you know what else? I don't want people to fall asleep on us here either. So I think we need to wrap this one. It's great content.
Hey, this turned into a very like wedding contractual liability.
Yeah. You know, we went from, you know, a little bit of Masters, a little bit of daddy daycare situation to a little bit of Joel Damon to Dylan Francis to terms and conditions. Like, man, I think we just went a little rogue and it's never a bad thing. You know,
that's what we do.
Never a bad thing. But yeah, no, I think today was a great one. I hope you guys are doing well out there. Thank you so much for listening in from my co-host, Will Unknown.
Scratch that. We'll be back.
Hey, keep it real. Keep it safe. Keep it real safe.